Okay, good morning. Mic check. Can you guys hear me okay? Great. Good morning. It is so good. I am so happy to be here as your minister this morning. As Lynn mentioned, my name is Reverend Gloria Wells, and I am delighted. I can hardly stop smiling long enough to even talk to you guys today. And yet I'm humbled at the same time. So I will go ahead and let the opening song play while you guys greet one another in the room. And I'll turn the mic over to Lynn to do that.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Okay, beautiful. It's so good to see all of you guys here from all over the place. And as we begin, I think spring is starting tomorrow. So, yes, it's good to see that the weather is good all over the place, it looks like. I'm here in Tampa, Florida, and we've had some rain over the past couple of days, but it is certainly still quite beautiful this morning. So the topic that I'll be discussing today, my topic is closing the gap and learning to fly. That is my topic for today, and today's reading will come from the book The Way by Michael Berg. But before we get there, let's go ahead and do our statement of purpose. And my reader for today is Reverend Ken Gibson. So let's go ahead and do the statement of purpose. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self with an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. Today's teaching will highlight core value number 3, which is we accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. Okay, so that takes us to this week's announcements. And I do have a few announcements for this week. And the first one is, join us tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time for our monthly satsang. This month's guest is Bob Ferguson. Bob is the author of The Listening Attention and a new novel about awakening called Dark Zen, A Guru on the Bayou. Bob's spiritual teacher was Richard Rose. Bob says, and I quote, I took his advice to heart, put what little I could into practice, and it gives results. I lost the fear of living I had carried in years past and now found life to be a great adventure into oneself, filled with dangers, but the only adventure worth living. This journey culminated in a dramatic realization, the experience of my true nature as pure awareness, love, and action. This was a traumatic loss of the personal man, which was replaced by the knowledge of myself as universal awareness in every man, in everything. The question of who am I was answered. This was replaced by a drive to communicate the ways and means of this realization to others who ask the same question. End quotes. Regina will interview Bob tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Notice that this is a new time for the start of satsang, which previously started a half hour later. Now our monthly satsang will be held the third Sunday of each month at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, starting tonight. And then the second announcement this week is right after this evening's satsang, Martha Creek will offer her third teaching in the Work miniseries. Martha's teaching will begin at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, so do plan to join us for that. And then the third and last announcement for this week is you have 1 week left to watch Fisher King. The Fisher King is a 1991 movie starring Jeff Bridges, Adam Bryant, Paul Lombardi, and David Hyde Pierce. In this movie, a former radio DJ, suicidally despondent because of a terrible mistake he made, finds redemption in helping a deranged homeless man who was an unwitting victim of that mistake. The movie group will discuss The Fisher King next Sunday, March 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and that group is led by Reverend Jacqueline Eckert. So that concludes our announcements for this week. So do plan to join us for some of those exciting events that we have going on there this week in the sanctuary, right here in Pal Talk. All right, so that takes us to, I'll have Lynn go ahead and play a song for us, and after this song, I will rejoin us with a prayer, and then our reader for today, Reverend Ken Gibson, will read the reading, The Rocky Path to Transformation. So I'll go ahead and let go of the mic.
to think that I could not go on, and life was nothing but an awful song. But now I know the meaning of true love. I'm leaning on I just believe it. There's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. See, I was on the verge of breaking down. Sometimes silence can seem so loud. But first I know it starts inside of me. Oh, oh, if I can see it, then I can be it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. Oh, I believe I can fly.
Yes, good. Thank you so much for that song, Lynn. And just going to get silent for a second and start the prayer. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We welcome you into this space, into this present moment, where in truth there's no other place for you to be except in this moment. I open myself, I offer my willingness here today to step outside of what is comfortable, what is familiar, what is known. And I come before your altar today with an empty heart and empty hands, willing to be used as a vessel for your use, for your activity, for your word, for your truth. I'm grateful for this opportunity to be here today, to be a part of what is being created, what is being born, what is being discovered. I give thanks for each and every member present here today, whether you're present physically in the room or on the radio, or if you're listening to an audio in the future. I'm grateful for you. And I'm grateful to be of service to you in any way that I can. And I offer this prayer in deep gratitude and deep reverence for all that is. And so it is. Amen. Okay, so our reader for today is Reverend Ken Gibson, and I'll go ahead and release the mic to Ken, and he's going to be reading The Rocky Path to Transformation, and I'll let go.
Good morning, everyone. It's still a little unusual to be referred to as Reverend, even though I know both Rebecca and I are now officially ordained reverends. It's still a little strange. But to the reading from The Way by Michael Berg, The Rocky Path to Transformation. Not long ago, a student at the Kabbalah Center in Los Angeles adopted a baby from China. Lori was 9 months old at the time of her adoption, but her physical development was that of a child at least 4 months younger. She had spent almost her entire life lying flat on her back in an orphanage crib. She could not sit up or even roll over by herself. The back of her head had actually begun to flatten out due to her lack of mobility, and there was a large bald spot where her hair had been unable to grow. When she arrived in America for the first time, Lori had a chance to move around on her own. Following the instructions of her pediatrician, her parents put a blanket on the floor and gently placed Lori in the center of it. At first, she was so terrified that she seemed to enter a sort of trance-like state in order to escape the new and completely disorienting situation in which she found herself. And if any attempt was made to turn her over or stimulate her, she cried bitterly and quickly returned to her comfort zone on her back. To her parents, Lori seemed to be making no progress at all. Yet Lori's doctor was surprisingly confident. There was no evidence of underlying neuromuscular damage, and As the doctor put it, Lori will eventually learn to walk, because that's what she is meant to do. She's also meant to experience difficulty in walking, so that by overcoming those difficulties, she can become stronger. Before long, day by day, Lori began to make progress, though at first even the smallest transition seemed terribly painful. If she managed to turn over, she immediately cried out in pain and again rolled back onto her back. But later, sometimes after an hour and sometimes after a full day, she would try again. Gradually, progress happened more quickly. And within 6 months, what had once seemed impossible had become reality. Lori had caught up. She could do everything that was to be expected of a child her age. Why did Lori not simply give up when her first attempts at growth were so painful? Why did she not behave in accordance with a behavioralist model of pain avoidance? Why did this child, in her small way, choose to transform herself from one mode of existence to another? The answer, as her doctor pointed out, is that it was in her nature to do so. The difficulties she experienced, however painful they may have seemed, were simply of a different order of magnitude than the deeply ingrained objective of learning to walk. On the path of transformation, you will undergo exactly this sort of experience. The path includes many obstacles, but the obstacles themselves are opportunities to renew your journey towards joy and fulfillment. It's misleading to speak of Kabbalah as difficult or demanding, because that places emphasis in the wrong place. Again, the obstacles are of a different order of magnitude than the objective. When you learn to walk, to speak, to read, or even to ride a bicycle, there was certainly mistakes and scraped knees, and perhaps even a broken bone or two. But it was in your nature to accept and even to seek out those experiences as the price of positive change and ultimate fulfillment. This, not sorrow, pain, or death, is your true destiny. But you are not just a recipient of this fulfillment. The Creator intends for you to be an essential participant in bringing it about, using the spiritual tools of Kabbalah that have been given to all mankind. Thank you, Gloria, for asking me to be your reader. I release the mic back to you.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you so much, Ken. That was absolutely perfect. And I just have to comment that Ken and Rebecca made our stoles for all of the new ministers, and I am wearing my stole today as I embark on my very first teaching today. So thank you for that as well. So let's go here and take a look at, let's unpack this story. And I'll restate what the title of this teaching today is. It's Closing the Gap in Learning to Fly. So the baby Lori, this was one of our books that we used during our MPP course in our Kabbalah teaching. And when I initially read this story, I immediately identified with Lori as a symbol of what the ego is like. Or when you first come on, for me, when I first came on to this path of really being focused on undoing what's here that needs to be undone, I saw Lori as representative of myself, having spent my entire life believing that this was the truth, that I was the truth of experience, and then coming into learning or unlearning all of that and remembering or reaccepting the truth of my being. So there's a couple of points that I'd like to make about Lori's story here. The first is that she went into a trance-like state in order to escape this completely disorienting situation. So for me, I have this intellectual understanding now about what it means to be one being, that there is one life here in many different embodiments. I have that intellectually understood. And if someone were to ask me about that, I could give them a very good intellectual answer as to what it means to be one, a non-dual sense of being. But to have a experiential or a direct experience of this is what I'd like to talk about here as it relates to the trance-like state. And it's something that Regina has taught about recently as well, about direct experience. And where I was initially introduced to that was the teachings of Ramana Maharshi, where he taught the direct or self-inquiry. So during Regina's teaching, she mentioned Rupert Spira, and that really ignited something in me to go further with the whole idea of the direct experience. You see, I think that from my perspective, going into this trance-like state, which I have experienced, even though I have the intellectual knowledge that I'm not this person, this is not reality, this is an illusion, this is a dream, I have that intellectual knowledge, but there's still this gap where that intellectual knowledge and how I'm presenting when a circumstance other than something pleasant comes up, you know, there's a gap in there. So that's what I want to talk about here, is this direct experience. So after Regina talked about that, I went and I looked up Rupert Spira, and I studied his teachings a bit further, a bit deeper, to uncover more, to get a more direct experience. I did the exercise when Regina said it. We actually looked at direct experience by looking at how we felt, because that is the only real experience, is that seeing, the sensing, touching, hearing, that is the direct experience. When it goes through our mind and we begin to add to it lots of other layers, then it now becomes something else. It steps away from the reality of what's really going on. So one of the teachings that, or one of the exercises, I should say, that I learned from studying that, and I thought this was really profound, because what I discovered in doing this exercise, which I am going to share here because I'd like us all to, and maybe you've already experienced this exercise. I know Rupert Spira is a name that's often mentioned here in our sanctuary, but it's just a very brief exercise where I'll have you close your eyes. But for me, when I experienced this exercise for the first time, what I discovered is that when I was doing the self-inquiry, I was still confining it to the body, right? Even when I was having the direct experience, everything was still being confined to this body. And what I've learned and what I've experienced is that this awareness is not a local experience. It's not in this body. It's of this body. It operates through this body, but it's not in this body. And that to me was really an aha moment, if you will, for me. even though I think, again, I intellectually knew that, but the direct experience was something that took it to an entirely different level. So let's just practice this exercise really quick, if you would entertain me on this. And what it is he asks that you just close your eyes and what we're looking for is the boundary between what we know to be ourselves and what's quote unquote out there. So when I close my eyes and I try to find this boundary that separates Gloria from the rest of the world, I could not find that boundary. And that was the aha moment for me. And if you have your eyes closed and you're looking for that boundary that is separates you from the rest of the world, and I'll give you a moment here just to try to find that space, that covering, that boundary, that line that somehow separates what you are from everything else. You see, when I did this experience, I was like, it's not there. I can't find it. And I was, you know, I felt like a little kid who was, you know, looking for something. And you can open your eyes again if your eyes are still closed there. But I felt like I was looking for something that, you know, and like I was playing hide and seek, looking for something that I finally realized really isn't there. And it's, and I go into that space much more easily now, because whenever I feel constricted or like in a situation where this trance-like state that we're talking about, now I can fall back and say, wait a second, I can step outside of this trance and really see here that there's nothing really separating what I am from the rest of what's out here. So in other words, all of this exists, and now I'm able to see clearly how all of this exists right here, right now, within consciousness, within me. So all of this, the world is just happening. You know, is basically what it boils down to for me. And as the observer of all of it, I can sit back more comfortably now and watch things that happen without the attachment of me, without attaching me to everything, you know. And it's not something that happens overnight, and I get that. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things that Rupert Spira talked about, is that we've been attached in this way so deeply and completely to what I personally thought was the truth of myself. You know, there's such a deep and complete attachment to that, that what appears to be time needs to go by before we can truly close this gap between intellectual understanding and this experiential direct experience, really being able to live from that place, or to fly, as I said in my title, to really learn to fly. So the other part of the story that I wanted to really highlight here was seeing obstacles as opportunities. Before I go to that, though, I did have a side note on the doctor. The doctor in the story was surprisingly confident. And I know that's one thing that Brent Haskell pointed out during his teaching with us, that we must begin knowing we've already arrived. The doctor in this case, even though the parents were not as enthusiastic, they didn't see the progress that they had hoped this child would make over the time that they had had the child, the doctor here was absolutely confident that this child would eventually walk because that's what she was meant to do. And again, seeing Lori as symbolic to my own ego, I was able to translate that to, I will eventually see because I'm determined to see, number one, as the Course says, and secondly, that's what I'm meant to do, and that's what we're all meant to do, ultimately. And that's where the doctor's confidence came from, is just understanding fully that this is what this child is meant to do. And I believe that his confidence there is what was transferred somehow to Lori, and that helped her to ultimately do what she was meant to do. So the other part was seeing obstacles as opportunities. The story pointed out that no matter how painful an experience may have been, in this case for Lori, learning to walk, and in our case, maybe purifying us, and getting us to a place where we can fully be or fly, no matter how painful that may be, it's simply a different order or magnitude than the objective. So the question has to become, where is our focus when purification is occurring or when these painful experiences are happening? As Rupert Spira pointed out, there's a lapse in time there where we're detaching. We know the truth, and as we detach from the old ways of being and begin to walk in and experience this new way of understanding and of living, where is our focus at during that time while purification is happening? Are we, as one of my favorite words that I get from Reverend Jacqueline Eckerts, are we doing the platitudes thing? Are we saying we're okay, but underneath that we're really not? Until something happens to let us know, okay, yeah, I wasn't really okay with that. So where is the focus when purification is occurring, when we're in that gap between understanding and being? Are we still deeply invested and identified with what the Course would call the ego's plan for salvation? And I do have an excerpt here from Lesson 71 that I'd like to share with you about the ego's plan for salvation. And I'll just go ahead and read that. And this is from Lesson 71, Only God's Plan for Salvation Will Work. And here's that excerpt. The role assigned to your own mind in this plan, then, is simply to determine what other than itself must change if you're to be saved. According to this insane plan, any perceived source of salvation is acceptable, provided that it will not work. This ensures that the fruitless search will continue for the illusion that although this hope has failed, there is still grounds for hope in other places and in other things persists. Another person will yet serve better. Another situation will yet offer success. Such is the ego's plan for your salvation. Surely you can see how it is in strict accord with the ego's basic doctrine, seek but do not find. For what could more surely guarantee that you will not find salvation than to channelize all your efforts in searching for where it is not? God's plan for salvation works simply because by following his direction, you seek for salvation where it is. But if you are to succeed as God promises you will, you must be willing to seek only there. Otherwise, your purpose is divided, and you will attempt to follow two plans for salvation, which are diametrically opposed in all ways. So that's the excerpt I wanted to share from Lesson 71, because I think that it really highlights that when we're in this space of doing this platitude thing where we're knowing what the truth is, but we're not really living in that truth, it's in that moment that we're actually looking at two plans for salvation that are, as the Course pointed out here, diametrically opposed. And the focus it has to switch to seeking only the truth. Seeking only the direct experience minus whatever perception we're adding to whatever's occurring. Now, this whole teaching may not apply or may not speak to every single person. If everything is going fine and you're already flying and you're already living this direct experience from an observer's role in every single situation that you find yourself in, then these will just probably be nice words. But if you're anything like me, and since I know that there's only one mind, I know that there has to be someone who is like me, where you have this spiritual understanding of what the truth is. We know the truth, and we know the truth sets us free, right? But again, there's this gap here where I've let go of the falsehood does not have as tight a grip on my psyche as it used to, right? Those bricks have been loosened. The way has been laid before me. I can see the light, right? Now the task for me is transferring that knowledge into a practical form that allows me to now operate in the world, but not be of the world, right? So closing that gap of understanding and moving into that absolute direct experience that we played with a bit earlier of trying to find that boundary. Right? So if there is no boundary around me, if there's no me in here, and there isn't, you know, it's, as Brent Haskell pointed out, it's a collection of false beliefs, things that I have repeatedly believed to be true about myself. So there isn't really a me here in the first place. There's nothing separating this internal world that I've created from this quote-unquote external world that's out there, then how do I live with that knowledge that there's nothing really here? How do I just let life happen? If there's a fire burning, how do I just let it burn? How do I accept this role as non-doer and allow life to be the verb that it is, the happeningness that it is, the beingness that it is, and just experience that? So again, the question is always has to be, where do I choose to focus? Because the moment I allow a bit of my focus to go 30-70, 30 for ego, 70 for Holy Spirit, again, I'm operating here with two different points of view that are diametrically opposed to one another. So there has to be conflict there. There has to be a problem. And there usually is a me somewhere in there supporting that problem. So that focus has to literally all go for the truth. Either we're all in or we're all out. You know, there's no, as Jesus said in Matthew, no man can serve, Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to one and despise the other. There's no wishy-washy here. There's There's one, and there's no going back either. That's one thing I've learned, that there's no going back. You can't unsee what you've already seen. You can't undo what's already been done. So there has to be this forward motion, this forward movement towards the truth, and only the truth. I mean, we can entertain the platitudes along the way, but there has to come a time where even those need to fall away, and the truth has to become our single, only purpose and focus. And that's really where I am with it. With closing this gap, learning to transfer that intellectual knowledge that I now have, all of these bricks have now been loosened, the bridge has been laid before me, and now the task becomes to allow Holy Spirit and grace, because there is that extra point that I'd like to make, that it's not on me or I don't have to do anything. That's the beauty of all this, except recognize that my focus is divided. That I've divided my focus. I'm focused on two different objects here, and to refocus on what matters, and then grace will do the work from there. The light will increase on its own from there. I simply need to be willing and able and wanting to focus on only the truth. That's what I think is the absolute beauty of Lori's story that we read today, and the truth of us, is that we don't have to keep efforting, keep learning, keep striving, keep trying, keep doing all of these things to line ourselves up with this beingness and this awareness that's always here offering itself to us every day of every moment, offering us our truth. We simply have to focus our attention in that direction and let the rest go. And with that, I'll let this mic go and allow for some contemplation over what was just shared, and also some time for you all to provide me some feedback or provide some feedback on what you've heard today. So I'll let this mic go, and I'll let Lynn play us a song.
To Chandler pathways, we have come to Chandler pathways and smoother roads. There is no thought of turning back and no real resistance to the truth. A little wavering, a little hesitance, but we are thankful for our gain. We sing the song of thanks today. Today, we receive His thanks a thousand more. We thank our Father for His gifts today. We receive His thanks a thousand more. His voice does not go soundless. We hear His today, and we become His messengers. Let His word echo around the world. Father has not left us to ourselves. Don't let us wander in the dark alone. His love is shining on us forever without change. We lift our hearts above despair and raise our thankful eyes. We sing the song of thanks today. We thank our Father for His gifts today. We receive His thanks a thousand more. We thank our Father for His gifts today. We receive His thanks a thousand more. His voice as knuckles soundless, we hear His word today, and we become His messengers. Let His word echo round the world, round the world, round the
Okay, and thank you. And I didn't mention before going into the song that now is also the time for you to make a donation to Awakening Together if you're so called to do so. Barb has posted a link in the room that will allow you to make a donation if you'd like to do that. Okay, so if you'd like to share anything, anything came up for you or anything you'd like to share about the teaching, now is the time of our service where you would be allowed to do that. So I'm going to let go of the mic and allow, I can't see if any hands are up right now. So if anyone does have their hand up, you're free to take the mic at this time.
Thank you, Gloria. Rev Gloria, that is. This is one of the beautiful things of being in the MPP program is we all got the assignment to do the same reading. And during the class, you got to hear everybody's interpretation of what that reading meant to them. And in this case, Gloria's interpretation of this reading was so wonderful and different than mine, because this particular reading didn't give me the same inspiration that I can now see in it from the way Gloria looked at it. And I thank you for that. Even your Rupert Spira exercise, when I first did it, I said, yeah, there's a boundary. And then as you talked, I realized that boundary was my body. And it truly shocked me into, wow, I'm still have that remnant of I am the body. So thank you for that reminder and that clarity. And releasing the mic. Thanks again, Gloria.
Good morning. This is Dolores. I'm wondering if I have the mic. Can anyone hear me? I'm not seeing any messages. I'll let go.
Dolores, we were hearing you. I'm not sure why you couldn't see the messages, but lots of people said yes. So take the mic back, please.
Thank you. I'm on my silly phone, and it does strange things. But thank you, Reverend Gloria, for your message this morning and your clarity. It, I guess I get always what I need when I'm asking for it. I've been struggling this week. I was listening in the room earlier this week, and it seems there's always differences of philosophy. Some people have an immediate awakening, and then others have a rocky road to transformation as your topic. And I seem to be one of those that is having a rocky road to transformation. And so your message was so important to me. I mean, I can only be in my truth, which I know there is an ultimate truth, but I don't have the ability to abide in my true nature, you know, that open, spacious, my true identity. I can shift back and forth when I feel like a tension in my body. I know when I'm feeling a tension that I'm identified with my personality, my ego, my small self. I know that I'm identified with it. And I try to go inward, and I do, but I can't abide. I don't know how to abide in that state. And so, like you said, I can't go backwards. I have to keep plugged in to this. There's nowhere for me to go but to into more of this. So anyway, just thank you for your clarity, and congratulations. And I'm one of your fellow reverends as well. Letting go of the mic.
Gloria, I guess I just grabbed the mic here, I think is what we're doing this morning. But listen, I just want to say that that was a fabulous talk. Your passion is just amazing, and of course that's what carries us through. You know, that is the choice of focus. Yeah, she's a natural born minister. That is the choice of focus on what we're doing, that is making this more than just, you know, going through the motions and saying the platitude. Follow your passion. Thank you so much for sharing. It was a beautiful, beautiful message. I'll let go of the mic.
Hi, Reverend Gloria. I hope everybody can hear me. This is Doreen. Can you let me know? Great. Thank you so much for that message. It was so on point for me right now because I feel like I am in that gap that you spoke about. I love the reading and the explanation of the trance. And just thank you so much for the reminder of how to be while we are in that gap, which is to stay focused on one and one truth. And it was a fabulous message. And again, I just want to reiterate what everybody else was saying about the passion. And yes, you are a natural born minister. It was coming through. It was you, and at moments it wasn't you. It was definitely Holy Spirit. So thank you so much and congratulations.
Wow, thank you guys. Thank you so much for those very kind words that you're sharing with me. That feedback is very helpful for me. I can do nothing apart from him who sent me. is all I want to say about that. I can do nothing in and of myself, and I do nothing in and of myself. I thank you. I thank you all for coming today and sharing and allowing me to share this. I shared with Jacqueline yesterday via email that I was a little nervous, but it was not really the nervousness that one would, it didn't feel like a fearful nervous. It felt more like a jitterly, like I felt like a little girl getting ready to go to the prom or something. I don't know. It was just kind of funny. But I'm glad I got through it, and I'm glad you guys stuck in here with me. I will turn this mic over to Lynn, and unless anyone else, again, I can't see any hands up, so if anyone else does have anything else to share, you're welcome to do so. If not, I'll let Lynn go ahead and close us out with a closing song. I love you all. I send you all my love.
Thank you, Gloria, and I will just speak before Lynn takes it, unless, of course, somebody else puts up their hand. I know Lynn can see the hands, so she'll know when it's time. But I just want to say I'm really, really moved by your teaching. There was spirit in your teaching. I'm not only referring to Holy Spirit, but to the passion with which you taught. There is spirit in your teaching. Spirit in your ministering. And although I love Dove, I love Jay, I love Regina, I love Jacqueline, I love the four of us who have been the regular ministers for the last year or so, it is so nice also to hear the same teaching, because I can't point to your teaching and say that there was anything different in it. There will never be anything different, I don't think, in anyone's teaching. But to hear the same teaching coming through a different expression was such a wonderful joy and a treat. And I know that, I imagine anyway, that everybody felt the same way. So I want to thank you so much. Gloria, for those of you who don't know, Gloria felt a calling to teach or to minister on the weekly gathering. And so I gave her today being my slot, for two reasons. I didn't want to ask someone else to give up their slot. And two, I wasn't 100% certain how today was going to be for my schedule anyway, because today's the day that Jasmine goes back to Fort Collins, and I wasn't certain if I'd have to be driving her or not. So I gave her my slot today. And I want to say thank you to Gloria for letting me know that she was feeling that calling to be the minister. I want to thank her for taking the leap. I want to thank her for accepting the title of Reverend and for also using that title with Ken, and for Ken accepting that title of Reverend, even though he said it feels a little odd. Trust me, I know it feels odd. Nobody knows it better than me. I want to thank Gloria for wearing her stole while she taught today. My feeling about all of this is that Holy Spirit has a plan for awakening together. And that plan is to see the one in the many. And I think that Gloria today was a wonderful demonstration of that. Like I said, her teaching wasn't different. It was the one coming through a different body, the one coming through the many. And I think that the Reverend title, although some people may see the Reverend title as special, I think that whenever we see the Reverend title as special, we're making a mistake. I think what's in the Reverend title is the word revere. And what's being revered is not the body. What's being revered is the one. And when we, those of us who have been called to go through MPP, have been called to be ordained, when we accept the Reverend title, and when we put on that stole, we are revering the one. And again, Gloria, It was a wonderful, wonderful demonstration today. And Ken, also your acceptance of the Reverend title, a wonderful demonstration. And I just want to say thank you. I'm deeply touched right now, deeply honored. And I appreciate everything that happened this morning. And I love you all. Releasing the mic.
Okay. I was considering doing this, but I just heard from Regina that Reverend Gloria has a real calling for this ministry. And yes, I agree with Doreen, you are a natural born minister. I've been here for 3 years, first Sunday of the month, and I appreciate the privilege and the opportunity this has been. And I'd like to say, I have one more coming up, I guess in 2 weeks. That's the first Sunday in April. But after that, I'd be more than happy to give my Sunday over, literally, to you, Reverend Gloria. That was so beautiful, so filled with the joy and the clarity. Yeah, clarity is really power. Your clarity and your message touched all. And I would really be more than happy to step back and allow you to take that first Sunday of the month if that's what you want to do. And I was going to give Regina a call this week and suggest that, but as long as I heard Regina speaking just now, I think it's perfect to just share it with all. So thank you so much, Regina. It's up to you, and I'm more than glad to have Gloria, Reverend Gloria, to step in.
Wow, I just wanted to jump back in here and say thank you to Doug. That was amazing for you to make that type of offer, and I'm just really touched by the feedback from everyone here today. There was a lot of thought that not really. Let me make sure I'm saying what I'm trying to say correctly here. After I finished the MPP course. And I was doing some writing. I was inspired to start writing again, and I am doing some writing on the side. And then that thought came in, and I'm like, as a matter of fact, the reading for today, I was actually thinking the subject didn't change, but the actual reading did. I was actually making a list, a Walmart list. And I went to my bedside where I normally keep a notebook, and the book was there. So I picked the book up inadvertently, and immediately, as soon as I touched the book, there was an instant knowing that this is where my reading would come from. So I wasn't thinking of a reading in that moment. I was thinking of not forgetting my mouthwash at Walmart. So when I started to see things like that happening, I know that something is informing me at that point. And just like I said during the teaching today, the focus has to be, the willingness has to be to put that all in one direction. So I just released and surrendered to whatever's here for me to do, whatever I'm called or guided. I'm simply a willing vessel for whatever Holy Spirit would have me to do. And if that's what's coming up, what Dove is offering, then I absolutely submit and surrender to whatever I'm called to do. Again, I love you all, and I'll let go of this mic again.
Thank you, Gloria. Thank you, Dove. Thank you, everyone. What a beautiful and wonderful service this morning, and what a beautiful message, Gloria. I cannot expound any more on what anyone else has said. It's just been a wonderful experience being here with you. And I just might say that what I see, and it just seems to me that awakening together is unlike a lot of, in fact, any other spiritual organization that was started by a mystic. And most of them that I know of were started up and run by male mystics. But Awakening Together, because of Regina being a female mystic, it seems like there are many women who are being attracted to and becoming a part of our ministry. And I think in a very, very powerful way. And it, and what I see is that the other organizations that I look at that were basically started and run by males, that those organizations have a figurehead, a singular person to whom they look for all their advice, for all their teaching. And that singular person is the head of everything that happens. And what I see, though, in Awakening Together is that there is not a singular head of the organization, that it is absolutely an association of equal persons, just as it says in our core values and our purpose, is that we, each and every one of us, are equally equally the same, the ministers of God. And to see these incredibly powerful mystical persons becoming ministers, becoming associates and affiliates here at Awakening Together is such a beautiful, beautiful gift. And so I want to thank you, Gloria, for just showing up and being that light that is Gloria and glorious. So I'm going to play a concluding song, and then we will have our fellowship hour afterwards. So here we go.
Running down her dreams in a dirt.